will call the meeting to order. This time, Mr. Wenzel is going to lead us in a moment of silence and a pledge.
Please rise. Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have the agenda posted here this evening. It's on my mic. It's coming through. You got me? Okay. Were there any modifications to the agenda this evening?
Yes, there are. Under the affidavits of guardianship, we have an additional one that came in last week, so that's there as well. And then there's an addition to the personnel report, a new ag teacher.
A full-time, going from part-time to full-time, right?
This is the new full-time position.
Okay, I looked at it earlier. Okay, very well. Any other modifications, Jim? Is there a motion to approve it as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The agenda for this evening is approved. We have a presentation, Student of the Month, Mr. Sang.
Thank you, President Yoder, members of the school board. It is my pleasure this evening to introduce to you Blessing Bowman. She was our female student of the month for the month of April, and our trait of the month was that of compassion. So she is a young lady who certainly exudes that in everything that she does. It is not uncommon to see her smiling from ear to ear, day in and day out. So she's a real blessing, no pun intended, to have here at Garden Spot High School, but we are fortunate to have her. She is awesome and comes from an awesome family. Her parents, Lester and Brenda, are here this evening as well, and they reside in Stevens. So it's a pleasure to have Blessing here tonight with her family. Was Lane Weber, and unfortunately he couldn't be with us here this evening, but Lane is awesome, an awesome young man, and we'll be sure to get him a certificate, so thank you.
So always a highlight to have the Students of the Month, and when it's your niece, it's even more special. Dr. House.
Thank you. A blessing. Congratulations. Every month, this is a highlight for all of us. Having said that, there are only a select few who really get that honor. So obviously you're doing something right to keep it up. And the one speech that I sort of make every time, and I think the board is tired of it, but it's an important message to you. Your administrators and your faculty have sort of tapped you on the shoulder and said, you're doing something good, you're doing something right. And we're acknowledging that tonight. But tomorrow, you know, the other side of that coin is there's an obligation to keep doing it that way. Because we need you to do that. Chances are many of the students who end up coming here as Students of the Month sometimes might not come back to this community at some point, or certainly will leave this community at some point. And just remember, you always wear the Garden Spot label on your back to do it proud. Thank you very much. Congratulations on that.
All right. And you're certainly welcome to stay for the meeting. All right, we have time set aside for citizens of the district. Did any residents wish to comment this evening? If you would take the microphone, state your name and where you reside. Just for the record.
My name is Deborah Imers, and I reside in Pearl Township. And I just, is it all right for me to go ahead?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to come to the board for two reasons. One is to tell you and the administrators what a good job you're doing. I don't know if everybody knows, but I was on the board at one time, and since then, I now have 5 grandchildren in the school district, and I'm very excited about that. The oldest one's in middle school, and the younger ones are out in Holland Elementary. So I can speak from the opposite side of the coin now of how good this school district is doing. It's awesome, you know, to see my grandchildren, and they range, you know, in all areas. I have a couple that really, really excel, and I have a couple that are just, you know, kind of an average student, which all is great as far as I'm concerned. And I think they're all being challenged. It's great to see the ones that are excelling being moved up and challenged, and it's also great to see the ones that are more middle of the road, that as they do progress, they are being moved up or moved back if they need help, whichever the case may be. There's one that's bouncing up and down all the time, but I think that's great. For him, that's perfect. So I really appreciate everything you guys are doing at this level to make that happen, that you're teaching to the student and not to a whole group of children. So you don't hear it enough. What an awesome job you do, and I come in contact with lots of young families now, and I don't hear a complaint about this district at all. So, and while I'm here, the second thing I'd like to pray for you. Father God, we do just thank you for this school district that we live in. I thank you, Lord, that you put the right people in the right places, that you have board members in place here that you want, and that they have the wisdom to do what needs to be done in the school district. I thank you, Lord, that you place each administrator in their proper place and that they're doing an outstanding job. And they too, Lord, are leading with great wisdom. Lord, I think of all the problems that other school districts often have that aren't present here. And Lord, I know that it's your hand that's working in this district and through the people that are in this room. Lord, I especially pray for each one of them as they move forward into the future, that they make wise decisions and choices. And I pray, too, Lord, for all the teachers in the schools, that, Lord, you give them the love and the encouragement that they need day by day as they're right in the classroom with all of our children. And, Lord, too, I pray protection over all the children, too. I know that there are things out there that make it difficult to teach in schools, Lord. And I just pray for each of the children coming into the district, Lord, that you put a hedge of protection around them and around this district as a whole. And I thank you, Lord, for how you're at work here. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Deb. Thanks for your years of service, Deb. Okay, so we have the consent agenda, which we vote on as a block. We do have the note up here that if you come during our committee meetings, we usually have a more formal discussion, but at this point we vote for the items that we had discussed and put on by the committee. So is there a motion to approve the agenda this evening?
So moved.
A second? Discussion? All right. Any other discussion on the agenda? Yes. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. And the agenda is approved. Okay, and we'll move into reports. And get down here. Lancaster County Tax Collection Bureau, Mr. Ramsey. Oh, I'm sorry, did I miss? Were there some action items?
Did meet on April 12th last week. The main purpose of the meeting was to receive and approve the 2016 audit report. I'm happy to report that the Tax Bureau's procedures and processes, as reported by the auditor, are commendable, and also that their tax collection costs are 1.3% of total revenues. So for every $98 or 98.7 cents for every dollar, gets returned to the school district. So, you know, great job. We also heard an update on the compliance efforts. They're continuing to take action against delinquent employers, those that aren't paying. I think to date they collected about $200,000. So they're going to continue to increase those efforts. They also approved, as I reported last week, they approved moving forward to collect the real estate taxes for the Comstock Valley School District for this upcoming school year. So if all goes well, we hope to be a part of Peckway and the school district of Lancaster the following year. So I'll keep you posted on how that's progressing next year. We are also responding to an RFP from Mifflin County to collect their earned income tax. Their total collections are about $9.5 million, so it's considerably smaller than what the Lancaster County Tax Collection Bureau is. However, that's going to bring in potentially about $250,000 in fees to help reduce our costs. No additional staff would be needed at this time. Our next meeting is May 10th, where they're going to hire an executive director. The executive director will come on board July 1st, and they will work hand-in-hand with, side-by-side with Terry Hackman, our executive director, and he will retire at the end of the year. So there'll be some nice transition time for the two of them. So that ends my report. Unless there's any questions.
On the, you're talking about on the delinquent employers, you're saying they're not withholding for their employees, or they're not?
It's a combination. It could be not withholding, could be not, they're withholding but not remitting.
Oh, okay.
Could be they're not remitting timely.
So when the individual files, then what happens?
Well, when they try to match them up, and then the individual get credit based on W-2, then we go after the employer for the money. Correct, because then the distribution to the school district doesn't happen.
Right.
You know, until we get those, collect, get those collections.
But if they just don't take it out at all, then the individual has to
then
pay.
Then it's more on the, yeah, it's responsibility of the individual.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you for that report. Lancaster Lebanon IU 13, Mr. Irvin.
The Lancaster Lebanon IU board met April 12th. One of our meeting highlights is we elected a new IU board representative from Columbia Borough School District. She was unable to make the meeting as Columbia had a board meeting that same evening. And as Mrs. Reimers was discussing the way Elanco takes each student and teaches them to their ability, we're in the third year at IU of doing that in 17 multiple disability support and life skill support classes. And it was amazing to watch that and to see what they are doing with children who other people think can't do anything except maybe at some point be able to talk, and if you give, if you have the right instruction, it is amazing what can be done. It was enough to make you cry, just to see what could be done if people work at it. So what we decided then is it's not the student's fault if a student doesn't learn. We really do believe that if a student isn't learning, we aren't teaching right. Because if you can do that in multiple disability classes, it can be done. Great meeting. We also approved $12.5 million in disbursements. Business services had 8 new or additions to existing contracts. Early childhood and special education services had 2 new contracts. Instructional services approved 2 new contracts. Technology service approved 1 new and 1 addition to an existing contract. And the HR services approved 1 new contract. The HR services also accepted 11 employee resignations, had 4 terminations of employees, had 5 retirements, 44 new hires, 15 change of positions or salary adjustments, and approved 8 leave of absences. And if I also passed out to each board member and administrator our monthly Helping Students newsletter. If if anyone has any questions, I'll try to answer them at this time, or I'll get back to you with an answer.
All right. Thanks for that report. Did we have any questions? Look over this information. Thanks for the report. And Lancaster CTC, Mrs. Redman.
The JOC met on March 23rd. We had a presentation from the early childhood department. Now, we've had a presentation from them before because as we go around to different campuses, we get highlights, and as I've been attending for several years, I've been to a presentation before. But what strikes me is the CTC is really changing their program to keep up with the field. And one of the things that the program is still full day, it's still very academic oriented. There's hands-on daily there at the site. It's at the Mountjoy campus, and it's a Bright Horizons Center. It was Hildebrand, but Bright Horizons has not taken over. So the students get to do hands-on there daily as part of their program. They're still doing elementary school placements at the local elementary school. But one of the things that they continue to upgrade their program, they're now college credits are available as they've completed the year of their program. They can go to Etown College with 6 credits, LBC with 6 credits, Harrisburg Area Community College will give them 9 credits, Reading Area Community College will give them 9 credits, and Mount Aloysius will give them 9 credits already attained toward their education there. And that is just so valuable to a student. This year's class, 70% of this year's class intends to go on to college in some form, whether it's to continue to earn a 4-year degree or a 2-year degree, but 70% of the class that's there. And another way in which they're really keeping up with the field, they come out of the program. When they graduate, when they complete the program, they are marketable in the field, childcare particularly, which is what they have there on site, to be hired as an assistant supervisor. Now, that means something to me because I'm in this field too. But what that means is that is a teacher who is able to be alone with children. It is not a head teacher, but it is someone who can run a classroom of his or her own. It is someone who is able to be alone with children, can supervise an aide who is not able to be alone with children. And they're also ready to take the CDA test. Now, I can never get the initials at CDA, but I can never get what they stand for correct, so I'm not going to screw it up and try to tell you. But it's an accreditation. It's not a degree, a degree as in a college degree or an associate's degree, but it is a credit. You need to take a test for it. And they come out ready to sit for that test. And the other thing that's really important in the field of child care right now, Better Kid Care is out of Penn State. And they do a whole lot of things that are required in the field. This past year, starting in 2016, they have come out with a new 6-hour health and safety training. Everyone who works in a licensed program in Pennsylvania must take this 6-hour training. I did it last December, but they get that in coming out. There's also a 15-hour orientation that all new employees must take in a Pennsylvania licensed child care center. You come out already having those 15 hours done. Your mandated reporter for the child abuse training. There's a training course that we all must take. The same course must be taken. That's already included in what they've had, as well as pediatric first aid and CPR, required by the state. They're already part of what they're graduating with, which is just so very, very valuable to them as making them marketable and employable. So even a number of the students I know who are planning to go on to college are also planning to be employed while they do that. And they are completely and totally employable in the field when they complete the CTC training. So it's just which they've kept the program up with what is viable, with what is needed now. Before 2016, this particular six-hour health course wasn't required, but now it is, and it's being provided. So I was very impressed, and the fact that more and more colleges are being put on the list as ones that will accept and grant credits for the work that's already been done is just, it's a wonderful thing. CTC is, as we've said before, there are wonderful things going on there, but they're really, really trying to keep themselves ahead of the game, as in keeping students marketable. And as I said, you know, with this one, I know a little bit about the value of what they're coming out with, but they're doing that all over the CTC with all of the programs, with the, you know, the accreditations that they require, you know, with the construction, with all of the variety of fields. So, a tiny house update. It is done. As a matter of fact, we have a video that I haven't seen yet, but they tell me there's a video. They are, the cost to the tiny house for building it was about $55,000. They are in the process of marketing it to sell, and they're asking $64,900 for it. So that is complete. And the other big news was the news for the dental hygiene program. I had talked a little bit about the veterinary program and the accreditation for that, that they had to have students in place, and then the accreditors came out. The dental hygiene program is different in that it needs to be accredited before it can be open for students, and they're looking to get the accreditation done. It is on track at this point for a fall 2018 start. So they are exactly where they were hoping to be, and that is the goal and the date. So that's what I have, other than the video that I think we found. I can't take any credit for it because my computer skills are like non-existent.
This is a place where people come to succeed, and this tiny house is proof of what CTC students can do when they come together. Every design, every panel, every nail, every step was completed by students at Lancaster County Career and Technology Center's Brownstown campus.
When I'm here, I love it. You're here to make something every day. You know, my teacher, Mr. Dotson, is very good with helping me stay motivated and focused and doing more opportunity and just keep on doing projects and everything. And I love that. You know, I like being a part of something so big, you know, something so important to others too. A lot rests on me. You know, once it's done, it's a good feeling.
With a common goal and a drive toward excellence, this team of students built this house from the ground up with the guidance of expert instructors.
One of the best things working here at the CTC is that we get to collaborate on large projects. I teach painting ceramic tile and vinyl, where my students do interior and exterior finishes for houses. Because we have our carpentry class here, we have our cabinet making class here, my students get to work on live projects just as they would out in the real world. So working together with other programs is essential. This is totally different than anything they've experienced before, because it's not just sitting behind a desk and reading things theoretically. Here we get to work hands-on. So it really does take a lot of determination for them to get it done in a lot of time. And the pride kicks in. They want to do a good job because they know it's going to be a product that's actually sold.
Through the real-life experiences at Lancaster County CTC, these students are prepared to hit the ground running upon graduation. Our students make a big and positive impact in our Lancaster County community. CTC students become the skilled workforce for the jobs of today and tomorrow.
CTC graduates are a great hire for our company because they're well prepared. They've had a great foundation of understanding in my case, the electrical trade. They've got great basic skills. We get them out into the work environment. They're already kind of partway up to speed to be able to hit the ground running.
This tiny house was built by skilled craftsmen with the latest technology available. And not only sweat went into this, but a lot of love too, by a dedicated group of CTC students.
It was great to be involved in this tiny house project because I'm doing the HVAC for my senior year, and I did it with the tiny house, and it transitioned my senior year, so I'm doing pretty well. There was a lot I learned in this tiny house project, because there was a lot of learning in only a year during the course of going into half the year making this house for a customer. It seemed really well, knowing that I've known a lot before I started and going into the tiny house. Being 2 years in CTC, my senior year kind of incorporated me to become a better student. So the first month of school, I was in a co-op position and I got a job in Mervyn Zimmerman. So it's transitioning me into becoming my career. So when I graduate, I have a full-time experience job.
So as a coordinator of the project, bringing all the shops together was a simple idea for me, because most of the time on job sites, you're working with other trades at the same time anyway. So bringing all the trades together and having the students work with each other is just like a real-life skill that they can see on a job site. Being an instructor here at CTC and part of the students' involvement as a career, it feels good to know that the students coming out of here are entering jobs through their senior program on co-op. It just shows that what we do here is actually what the employers are looking for in the students as we prepare them for the real world of work.
The dedicated team at Lancaster County Career and Technology Center proudly presents Our Tiny House. This is what we can do for you and our community. Let's see what we can create together and build lasting relationships with businesses and consumers in Lancaster County.
This tiny house could be yours, either to downsize, use as a second home, as a hunting or vacation cabin, or for your kids or extended family. This house is of supreme quality, built with lots of love, sweat, and commitment. It is our pleasure to deliver this product at a reasonable cost so that we may continue to provide this experience for our students, the future craftsmen of Lancaster County. If you are interested in a tour or to buy, please visit lancasterctc.edu/tinyhouse.
Continues to get reworked and tweaked up in Harrisburg, trying to find money in every nook and cranny up there. So it'll be interesting how this shakes out by June 30th. One House Bill 97 that's going to be voted on could come out of committee tomorrow. It's a charter bill to revise the charter bill, charter school committee. What they want to do, State Representative Reese, a Republican from Westmoreland, would like to expand the number of members on the Charter School Appeal Board from 6 to 9, with only one member, a principal representing traditional public schools. And the way I read it, it's basically going to be stacked in the charter school's favor, 5 or 6 voting members at any given time. But beyond that, it also, one of the things we've discussed many times with charter schools is accountability. They'd be held to the same set of rules that we are. This bill does nothing for that. So it's sort of being rushed through a little bit, and see what happens with this. If it gets out of committee, if it gets to the full House. The other one, sort of, I think I mentioned it a year or so ago, something like that, is House Bill 397 was passed. Require school districts to make a classroom or an instruction facility available to the Pennsylvania Game Commission for Hunter Education course. The school will be paid by the Game Commission. It would have to be during all school hours, either during the evening, days off, weekends. No fee to be charged to the public for these classes. So that's something that we could see in our area. It's a good use of our school. It's no problem, I hope. I think it was about a year or so ago it was in committee or something close to that, maybe not that long ago. That's about all I have, unless somebody has some questions.
Okay, thanks for that report. Does anybody have anything else regarding legislative? agency where they come in with the funding for the year. So that would conclude our reports, and then superintendent report with you next.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a couple of items. The first item, I'd like to bring you up to speed on the Carnarvon property and where we are with that. It appears strongly that Carnarvon Township will make an offer for the property. They had an appraisal done. From what I've heard, their appraisal came in right around where our appraisal was, the one that we prefer. We do have to, at this point, take a step. We need to let the county commissioners know, basically the planning commissioners know, that we're planning to sell that property with a letter. Really pretty simple, though. It's just we send them notification because it's a code that they're required to hear if we're doing anything with school property. Same kind of thing if we were to raise a building or take a building down. We did it for the part of the property many years ago. I'd like the board, it doesn't take official action, but I'll let the board know we will prepare that letter and get it sent out. And then the next item would simply be a resolution to sell the property. Note that we would need 2/3 members of the board, not of the attendees, but 2/3 member of the membership to approve that that resolution. That resolution would come ideally after Carnarvon would make us a formal offer. So I think we're still probably maybe 2 months away from all that coming to conclusion, but there's really no strong hurry either. So everyone's making sure we follow all the rules and cross the T's and dot the I's to get that done. But I will tell you that I will have Mr. Johnson prepare that letter and get that sent out to the Executive Director for Community Planning as soon as possible.
Very good.
That's a win-win. I'm thrilled that we're able to all come together on that. I think that's a good decision. A couple other items, just I'll go through sort of randomly. Next thing I want to share with you, I was contacted by the National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association informing me that Ed Yatsuga, our athletic director, new this year, has been recognized by the association as a certified athletic administrator. Just reading from the email at this point, term this distinction. Ed has demonstrated the highest level of knowledge and expertise in the field of interscholastic athletic administration. The voluntary certificate process, certification process, included a thorough evaluation of the candidate's educational background, his experience and professional contributions, as well as a rigorous, comprehensive written exam. Ed is one of the elite group of interscholastic athletic administrators nationwide who attain this level of professionalism. Congratulations to Ed, that's really awesome. I've said it before and I'll say it again, this is really his first full year at this job, and he has handled some difficult situations already, as there usually are with athletics, unfortunately. But I think he's doing a fantastic job, and I'm not surprised that he did the extra effort to get the certification, so congratulations to him. I know a month ago you heard from a tag team from John Robbins and Jill Hackman. I just wanted to give you an update. Jill sent an email out about 2 weeks ago. 5 of her Pathway students are getting free tests and certifications through CareerLink. This is the program that John Robbins spoke to you about. I had asked you to cover that in case CareerLink wouldn't. In this particular case, 5 students will be getting those accreditations, similar to what Melissa was talking about in some other areas. All because we have agreed to work with CareerLink and some of the other organizations that support it. Again, a fantastic opportunity for students to plug directly into the workforce with some additional certifications in pocket. So congratulations to the staff members who are making that happen, and most importantly to the kids who tested into some of those programs. That's really awesome. I'll interrupt the good news for just a moment and talk a little bit about Senator John Eichelberger. Senator Eichelberger is the new Senate Education Chair. His name has been mentioned several times, but I am concerned, to be honest with you. I'm reading now from an article from the Bulletin, which is the publication from the PSBA Pennsylvania School Boards Association. I believe you folks get that magazine. I'm not sure if you caught this, but some of the quotes in the interview, and I'm just going to read directly from Senator Leichtenberger. What are your thoughts on the mandates in public education? What do you feel are the cost-saving measures that would assist school districts? His answer, generally speaking, the schools have largely gotten themselves into their current financial problems through mismanagement. I think that's a pretty general statement, considering he's representing all schools in the Commonwealth. Further, he goes on to say, most mandates have been established to respond to egregious actions by schools, and it would be difficult to see them reversed. I have no concern about his attitude towards public schools. The other question that he was asked, what do you feel is the biggest issue currently facing public education? His answer, the attitude of the educational bureaucracy that is more interested in protecting the status quo and the bad players in the system than helping our children. That's just not true here, and I know it's not true in a lot of other Lancaster County schools. The other thing that he says is, from a statewide perspective, the system is failing. I think we heard this evening that our system may not be perfect, but we always have room to grow. But I think failing is a pretty gross overestimate of the public education system in the Commonwealth, and I'll share some additional information to support my case. At New Holland, once again, the chess team has done very well. Third place this year amongst the schools that were participating, and we had one what they call a board winner from New Holland. He was a board four winner, so he had done a lot of winning as they played through the ranks. But congratulations. These are students who just meet after school, volunteer teacher to help them along. I think EIU sponsors this every year, has been for the last couple of years. So congratulations again to New Holland's chess team for placing third in that tournament. Congratulations to the music department. Music is still strong in Eastern Lancaster County. This is an email from Tim Wall. Four of his students attended from New Holland, attended the district chorus. There were 168 students from 42 elementary schools at that particular gathering. Each school is allowed to bring four musicians to the event due to the large volume of participating schools. Our students and our school was represented by Mr. Moll's students from New Holland. They played together with all of the other students. I remember seeing this on WGAL. They also reported on it several weeks ago. So congratulations and thanks to Mr. Moll and to those students and their parents for encouraging them to participate and play music. And then finally, just one other comment. I apologize ahead of time, but I am going to read this email. This comes from Mrs. Kayla Heiser. She's a primary multiple disciplinary teacher at Blue Ball. Mr. Irvin earlier talked about the IU's classes, and so I have to respond by talking about some of our classes. This comes from the teacher. Hi, everyone, and this was sent to a number of us. I just felt the need to tell you about a story that recently happened. Cecilia Stoltzfus has been coming to my classroom since last school year. Her family stopped in my room on back-to-school night this year to meet me and to share how thankful they are for Cecilia to have the opportunity to help me in my class. She really enjoys interacting with my students and does such a nice job talking with them and engaging all of my students in a positive, appropriate manner. A few weeks ago, Cecilia's mother, Stacy, emailed me in regards to Cecilia's birthday request. Rather than get a gift for herself for her birthday, Cecilia wanted to give the students in my class something special. Today, Cecilia brought down presents she picked out for my class. She got a Fisher-Price Alphabet Turtle Toy, an individual jar of Play-Doh for each student. My kids were so excited and are already begging me to take the turtle out of the box. Cecilia went around to each individual student and let them pick which color Play-Doh they wanted. I'm just amazed, get this, that a third grader came up with such a thoughtful gesture for the birthday. How sweet and kind of her to choose my class to give gifts to for her birthday.
also, Cecilia invited my student, Kira, to her birthday party at Mike's Craft Store tomorrow, which was 2 weeks ago. I'm so excited to hear that Kira's mom agreed to take her to the party tomorrow. Cecilia's mother is also excited to meet Kira and her family. What an awesome story of friendship and inclusion. I wish I could see the two of them interacting tomorrow at the party. I just want to share the story, as I know we could all use a little positivity and pick me up from time to time. I had to read that working letter. I differ greatly with Senator Eckenberger about public schools. Last thing I have is just an announcement, mostly because Allison, you're here tonight. Sorry. LPN, last week I announced that Mr. Johnson was chosen as the Secretary of the Year for the IU. I wanted to make sure the Langston newspaper heard that. Justin, congratulations. Justin's been here 2 years and has done a phenomenal job for us. He's been on the board for just a little less than 2 years, and obviously his peers and colleagues from the IU, Lancaster 11, and see that as well. So again, congratulations to Mr. Johnson. And that concludes my report. I have no need for an executive session. Just a reminder, IU showcase is Wednesday. If you still would like to go or want to drop in, just let me know and we'll get you signed up. Thank you very much.
Let's Senator Ackerman. What county is he from?
Out near Penn State, yeah.
Is he chairman of the education?
He is the chairman of the Senate Education Committee. How did he get that? There are some theories. He was never even on the Education Committee.
Because he had Schmucker on it.
I know Senator Onnit wanted it, and they selected someone who had never been on the committee. That should tell you something.
All right. Any other comments or questions on the superintendent's report? Any other announcements for the board? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are adjourned.